So what I'd like to do is draw your attention to your kits, to a green sheet of paper that looks like this. We're going to have a bit of an opportunity now to reflect on and to react to our keynote address. And it's called Reflection and Reaction, and it has three questions in it. What I'm going to do is ask you, just at your tables, to introduce yourselves to each other, one another, and then to talk about the questions and actually get some dialogue going. After that, we are going to hear from some stakeholders in our system, and I will be calling them to the microphones then. So I'd like you to take maybe about 15 minutes to take a look at that paper and to have a discussion at your table. And a college instructor, and I'm going to ask that those people who have been who have agreed to speak and comment on the keynote address, I would ask them to come to the microphones that are placed in the room here. And the first person I'd like to call on is Deborah Burton, who's a trustee. And perhaps Deborah, you could just tell us where you're from.
My name is Deborah Burton. I'm a school trustee in Coquitlam School District. It's my first term. I want to thank you both for sharing your stories. I have to say, a number of things you said really struck a chord. I'm just astounded at the similarities between the Ontario experience and our experience here. One of those similarities, and it may seem like a small thing, but Jim, you talked about the urban-suburban divide. Now, in Coquitlam, we went through a very long, drawn-out, painful process last year, the culmination of which ended up in the closure of three elementary schools. Those schools were closed in neighborhoods that weren't going through a lot of development. Meanwhile, we have large, modern, Taj Mahal-like schools being built in the more affluent and newly developed areas. And so what happened in our district going through this process is we had parents asking questions like, why do we get our school closed when other people are having new schools closed? Or worse, why should I as a taxpayer have to subsidize that small school? So it was so demoralizing as a trustee, I have to say, because we have parents asking questions and pointing fingers at each other instead of asking the bigger question, which is, in my view, why are we in this predicament in the first place? Instead of pointing fingers at your neighbors, in my view, we should be pointing our fingers at Victoria, at a government which, in my view, has its priorities completely backward. Unfortunately, this government is a master at this divide and conquer strategy. They even have a new program called Notional Allocation of Funding, where they make, I know, some of us have heard about this, perhaps those from Ontario haven't, but basically the government is doing this. They're going to hypothetically divide up the amount of money that a district gets and say, hypothetically, this is how much your school gets. Now take a look at how much your neighbor's school gets. You can imagine the discord that results from this sort of activity. And unfortunately, human nature is to look inward first and self-preservation. And in my view, the present situation is only making that worse. What do you do about that? I don't know. But one of the lessons I'm taking from what you said today is that building strong coalitions between the stakeholders is absolutely key. And the success your success built on that coalition has really given me some hope and inspiration, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Deborah. I'd like to call upon our student representative, Scott Payne.
Jim and Pam, I'd like to just start by thanking you for sharing your stories with us. They're particularly valuable in that they're disturbingly similar to the story that we see unfolding in front of us right now. The Canadian Federation of Students is fighting for the rights of all British Columbians to get an education. And in a year where we have the largest graduating high school class in the history of this province, that fight is more important than ever. The issues facing post-secondary students are not at all dissimilar from those facing high school students, nor everyone in this room. And that is why it's so important for us all to gather together to share our stories and our struggles. We too in BC have a provincial government that is bent on selling off the future of this province in the name of reckless tax cuts. Tax cuts that have not paid for themselves nor benefited this province and have placed education in this province in crisis. And so with a provincial election on the horizon, we must all ensure that over the next 16 months, we're saying to Gordon Campbell, just as you did to Mike Harris and at the beginning of your talk, the future of this province is important. You're placing it in jeopardy. We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Thank you, Scott. I would ask that Dean Chatterson, teacher, come forward.
I come from Kimberley in the interior, and Jim and Pam, I too want to thank you. I hope that you feel very proud for what you've done. And it struck me that one of the things you did was tell the truth. You told the truth about the numbers, and you made a difference because when people saw the truth about the numbers, they started realizing what had happened, and I think that, again, that relates to our situation here. We were fooled into thinking, or I wasn't, but many people in the province were fooled into thinking that, oh, tax cut will give me money in my pocket, but they forgot about the cost. They forgot about what happens to kids, and I think you helped remind them of that and reminded me, too. I think, Jim, you mentioned that at the beginning of your process that there were those who advocated that they would, and I get a bit confused here because I wasn't sure whether it was catching more flies or bears or bees or something with honey. And one thing I know for sure that after having spent some time on farms that there were a lot of flies got attracted to something. I think what's significant in that is that you stood up and said, no more honey, and spoke out, and again, feel proud of what you've done. I guess for me, what you make me think about is that what you have done is tried to restore what was taken away, and I hope we can all keep in mind the next step. Wouldn't it be nice if we actually got to the point where we said, it's fun to spend money on education because look at the return on our investment that we get back. And the last thing I want to thank you for reminding me of is to keep hope because the government in Ontario did change. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. I'll now call upon our support staff representative, Carolyn Payne.
I'm Carolyn Payne, and I'm proud to join the students from Burnett. I also come from the Richmond School District. Over the last few years, the cuts to education has really affected QP staff. The closure of schools, the cuts in hours, and also the four-day work week. Our members are very devastated at the cuts in special education. On personal note, my workload, I work in an elementary school. I'm in five different classrooms. Students in kindergarten, grade one, two grade five, six classes, and a 6-7. I work with 14 kids on IEPs. And I feel that I'm very, I do my job the best that I can, however, I'm not effective. And so I really share and also the parent support in special education is what makes the turning point. Um, this government seems to have performed miracles from what they say, because suddenly a lot of students who required services previously are now cured and no longer receive support. And I think that's what we really have to fight for as parents and all educators. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call upon Eden Haythorn-Thwaite now, who's representative of parents.
Not really a representative of parents. One of the things, I belong to an organization called the Community Alliance for Public Education, CAPE, in Cowichan. And one of the things that we've come to understand is that idealizing parents has allowed for some lazy thinking. I don't consider myself a consumer of public education. We've been encouraged to see ourselves as consumers of public education. I think this is fed into a mixed-up view of what we have come to expect. It's split us from staff and teachers and has provided us with something and perhaps doing it unsatisfactorily, and it hasn't permitted us to stand together as allies in defense of our communities and our public education. In CAPE, we've come to believe that it's critical that the employees and parents have to stand together in their struggles for full funding. The well-being of staff is directly tied to the conditions in the classrooms under which our children learn. Regardless of the party in power, we believe that only vigorous community organizing among staff, parents, students, and other natural allies will allow us to first resist these attacks and then defend our public services as defined by community needs. Parents were once kids, and kids will someday be parents, and many employees are parents. We don't need to separate from each other.
Dalipa Thade, representing college instructors.
I teach geology and adult basic education at Capilano College in North Vancouver, and I'm a colleague of Cindy's at SIA, and we have our communications staff rep here in the room, and I haven't consulted with her, so I'm reluctant to say anything. I'm also a member of a special interest group, and I think we're all members of a special interest group in here, and we're all especially interested in maintaining a high quality public education in this province. In defense of public education, we need to fight on many fronts and in whatever capacity we're capable of. And thank you, Jim and Pam, for providing us with your story. And I was particularly impressed with your perseverance. There were many points along that journey where it seemed like it would be easy to just back off. So I know I'm inspired, so many in this room, not to back off, but to keep up the fight. In post-secondary education here in BC, the government has cut back on public funding and has told the institutions, well, you get the money, raise the remaining money on your own. The activities and the direction that our institutions have embarked on to raise these additional funds do not provide for a good education. They're all contrary, in fact, to good education. The commodification, the privatization, the international education, which is just being run as a cash cow, the online distributed learning or disturbed learning, as some people call it, all of that. I'm doing a workshop tomorrow, so I won't take up more time. but again, we've got to fight. And as for my student colleague Scott said, well, we've only got is it 15 months more of this government, and we look forward to May 15th of 2005. Thank you.